Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Medjuli the 13th, 51. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Bhakta Tani Bhule Prabhu Hari Hari Bali Jaya Jagannatha Palena Hasti Yuga Tuli. Verse 50, excuse me. Sri Bhuvana Bari Ute Kirtanera Dwani Anya Vajya Diri Dwani Kichu Nashini. When the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the three worlds. Indeed, no one could hear any sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtan. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnana Silakaya Vakshurim Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Apitam yena bhutale sayam yuta kadanayam tadati trapadantikam pancha kalpa turu pyasya vipa shindhu vaye vacha vatitanam bhavadevyo excuse me vaishnavevyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Sri Vasudevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from, excuse me, from Vrindavan. I'm staying at Giriraj Swami's place in Vrindavan by His grace, kindness. I have some shelter here. And I'll return to Govardhan. This is kind of unusual for me, because Govardhan means Nitya Seva. Nitya Seva means you regulate your life by doing the same activities every day. You try to organize your life. Regulation is very, very important. It reserves a particular time for a particular activity unmixed with anything else, and therefore allows you to focus. That's why we try to be regulated. And of course, we should always try to be regulated, but obviously in life it's not always that easy and things change. But at least during Kartik, at least traditionally, at least the Vaishnava sannyasis would try to come to one of the holy dhams and regulate their life by staying in one place. So by necessity, somehow I had to travel to the place where I was staying. The kind proprietor returned, so I came here for a few days. It makes it a little bit harder for me to save, and then being in Vrindavan, I know so many people, even if I don't go out, it's kind of a little bit of a different life. But I was going out because I came here with Jagadish Prabhu, and he hasn't been here in 12 years. So after breakfast in the morning, to go out yesterday. We went to Radha Damodar. It's so auspicious, the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, especially in Srila Prabhupada's appearance. And when I first came here, my room overlooks another place which has this big, beautiful garden, and that's where Bibi Govinda Swami stays. And we saw, when we came here in the afternoon, I think Jagadish hasn't seen Bibi Govinda Swami for many years, and I believe Bibi Govinda Swami, he joined the Dharma program at the Toronto, and Jagadish was in charge. And we looked over and we saw Bibi Govinda Swami and Indradyumna Swami with so many people meeting them and we went over there. And then I found out that they were going on Prikram at, I guess they go regularly at 4 a.m. in the morning when it's very, very dark and there's no one on the Prikram. So I joined in that morning. And it gave me a little bit of sense, that quiet in the morning going around, even though it was quite dark, and there's paved roads, and a lot of them are broken, so there's a little bit of austere walking there for a few hours. Not bad for me, because I'm used to it. But it's nice, you know, I remember the original Vrindavan when I first came, and you get that, you know, the quiet where people are waking up and the ringing of the bells and little kirtans and, you know, it's only, the glory of the morning is only spiritual activity goes on in Vrindavan during the Brahma Muhurta. And when the day rises, naturally so many other activities are happening here by people, the ordinary people and their businesses and families and so many activities. Responsibilities people have. But in that morning hour, and that's what Vrindavan almost used to be like all the time, practically. So you go around, and it's beautiful, and you know, you pass so many of those wonderful holy places along the bank of the Jamuna. It reminds me of the Hamsadutta written by Srila Rupa Goswami, where Radharani faints, seeing a kunja, a flower house where she used to meet Krishna. Now Krishna is gone, so she faints. And Sita goes to the bank of the Jamuna to get some water and meets a swan, Hamsa. And the Jamuna flows towards from Vrindavan to Mathura. So she gives a message to the swan and describes what the swan will see on the bank of the Jamuna as, so you see what? You see first the Kaliya Ghat, where Krishna killed the Kaliya serpent, and then you see Keshi Ghat, where Krishna killed the Keshi demon, and then you see Chirgat, where Krishna stole the garments of the unmarried gopis. And there are so many remembrances of the pure love flowing in Vrindavan eternally between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. And I know when I was walking, and it's so quiet and peaceful and Kartik, the weather is quite pleasant, not too hot, not too cold. And to my left, as we're approaching the Jamuna, and we're above the Jamuna, I hear some joy, some very pleasant interchange of a group of people, and I see that there's people, group of people, 20, 30, I guess some pilgrimage bathing in the Jamuna in the midst of the morning. And then I was reminded of what we were studying in the Bhagavad Gita, how austerity in the mode of goodness is satisfaction of the mind. And what that means is what is austerity is that you take shelter of Dharma or Krishna, and you do what's right despite the irrational impulses of the mind and the senses. So I was thinking, if it's austere, you know, in the morning, like to take bath in the Jamuna, a little cold. So it's austere, but there was such a joy. So that's austerity. But it's what is austerity? You sacrifice for something else. So their embrace in the their duty, a spiritual activity, and by sacrificing the impulses of the mind and the body and mind, then the condition of the mind becomes actually very, very satisfied. Because the mind is malleable, and it takes different forms. When you perform your duty, when you do what's right, it shapes the mind into goodness. And goodness is satisfying. It's not that you have to do something. Goodness itself is peaceful. So, but sometimes it's an austerity to take shelter of the condition of peacefulness and to give up passion and ignorance, which are not peaceful, but maybe temporarily satisfied. But I saw how peaceful it was. And then I had so many nice remembrances of how much the mind can be transformed, shaped into goodness and an internal happiness by a simple austerity. I remember in Kumbhavela, middle of the winter, bathing at 3:30 in the morning in the Triveni, the confluence of the Jamuna, the Ganga, and the Saraswati, and how quickly the mind becomes transformed. Simple things. Cold bath in the morning. Simple duties. Keeping your place clean. Sacrificing for others. Anyway, so that was nice, the entrance into Vrindavan. Yesterday I was invited for prasadam at Gopal Raj, the cook of Kumar Krishna Raj. He made Khichdi, Sabji, and Kadhi, myself, and Jagadish from Israel. Who's my host when I visit Israel. I'll be visiting there again in January. He is here. When someone has that bhav, cooking for Krishna, the perfection of it, it becomes rasika. Rasika is a connoisseur. It becomes suitable even for a person of fine taste, who has demands that things are done in the proper way. So when we should understand that Krishna is Rasika. He has a standard of perfect love. And when something is done out of perfect love, it's so nice. The richness of just the color of this khichdi, it was a bright yellow, and it was his mother's formula. It was so everything was done so perfectly. But on the other hand, in the evening, we're reading CC. Didn't tell anyone really, just Jagadish. We would just continue our program for 2 hours at 4:30. Just reading and commenting. We started with Panchalila 1. It's so nice about Srila Rupa Goswami. And then Karunika, she is on the Sanghas from New Zealand. very nice lady, and the boat being very nice, but she came to visit me, and so she came. Kunchina Krishna came, Nityananda, and we were leaving, and it was very nice, too. On the other hand, it described, I forgot what it was in reference with, but it was sort of like the nature of Krishna is also, on the highest level, he's Rasika, he's a connoisseur, but any simple service, he appreciates so much. The Krishna is very merciful, and that's one an inspiration to love him. If you do something with sincerity for him, he actually appreciates so much. And then we're hearing the poem. So we'll get today. I'll also say something about Govardhan. I think there was a request. So we're in this pastime of the Rath Yatra. And we should really, as we're narrating the pastimes, try to get a visual. And the visual is a manifestation of love. So if you can meditate on it, you'll be meditating on a pure exchange of devotion, which will help to ignite or inspire your own devotion. As we mentioned before, in terms of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you meditate on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're meditating on his meditation on Krishna. So it's a one step back entrance into Krishna Lila that actually gives you a stronger entrance into Krishna Lila. And we know that this Rath Yatra is an extremely important pastime, and it's why the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are such prominent deities in the Gaudiya Sampradaya coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it is the pastime of Radharani taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. And there's such an ecstasy because it's the lover leading the beloved in conjugal love from the public to the private so that they can open their hearts fully without inhibition. And it's as explained in the pastime, it's parakia, unwedded love, but existentially, everything belongs to God. It's just externally that way, but it creates a rasa. It creates a flavor of pure love. And there's no duality, there's no selfishness in this love. And this love is also without diminish, it's unlimited. It's a pure vipa. When Krishna came back to Dwarka, and we're going to read this in the Bhagavatam, when Krishna came back to Dwarka, the residents of Vrindavan, the residents of Dwarka, seeing Krishna, it was a pur vata, which means never before, unprecedented. And it gives you a description of the spiritual world that in the material relationships, you may have anticipation of meeting, you may enjoy, but it reduces within time. The excitement reduces in time. And in the spiritual dynamic, because it's not governed by anything external to the desire of the Supreme Lord for unlimited pleasure. So that rules. That rules time, that rules space. So it just gets better and better and better. It's unprecedented. It's unprecedented. So there's this wonderful expectation from the public to the private, which is the inner desire of God, which is the inner desire of his topmost devotee, and to assist in that. To assist in that and therefore share in that experience is the antaranga seva. It's the innermost service of the Vaishnava. This Rath Yatra is in that mood, and it's in that sense of joy. And those who do kirtan in that Rath Yatra, it's especially ecstatic because they enter into that mood and pastime. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is entering into that mood and pastime. And especially in Puri, the road on the side, this Puri road is quite spectacular. And on the side, you'll see the sands and the forest, and it's an impetus for the remembrance of Vrindavan, which gives great pleasure to Krishna. That spiritual environment, the concept of spiritual environment, where it's conscious and intending to please. You may buy something that is very, very beautiful, and you may appreciate it. But if that same object is given to you by someone whom you deeply love, who loves you, how much more pleasure do you get from that object? So Vrindavan is not just beautiful and enjoyable for Krishna, but it's beautiful and enjoyable because it's consciously forming those shapes and sounds for the pleasure of Krishna. Vrindavan is in a mood of service. Service brings out the beauty in objects, because objects are meant for love, not for exploitation. Objects are meant to be offered, not exploited. So when they come in an offering of love, they take on a special beauty, especially when they're consciously formed for that purpose. That's the exalted quality of Srimati Radharani. That she is the embodiment of love. She's formed of love. So her beauty is the supreme beauty, because it's a beauty that's intended for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore that beauty is supreme and ever expanding. And the supreme expression of I love you. So this sankirtan begins, this kirtan, and this is what kirtan is. It sounds for the pleasure of God. It's chanting the names of God for the pleasure of God. So this kirtan forms, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extremely enthusiastic. And he organizes these kirtan parties for the Rath Yatra, 7 in all. And they have in one kirtan party Sri Damodar, who's famous for singing, which is so beautiful and enriched with emotion. And because there's such a desire to please, this music has not only, the song has not only emotion, but it has melody. and it has rhythm, and it has tone, and he has five responders to his singing. And then Lord Chaitanya says, it's great that you dance, and it's great that Acharya is dancing. And then two expert kol madanga players join. And then there's Siva, the singer in another group. And Lord Chaitanya says, Nityananda, you dance so sweetly. Each kirtan party has 8, 9 people, it seems. Murari, Chaitanya says, you dance. He says, Haridas Thakur, you dance in that party. And Govinda Ghosh, you sing at Vakreshra. And then there's one party from Kuliagram, and one from Shantipur, and one from Kanda. And four parties go in front of the Rathayatra. And one goes on the right side, and one on the left side, and one on the back. And then this verse, when the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the three worlds. Indeed, no one can hear any sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtan. So, Kichuri, Nashuni, you don't hear anything, but what? Gwani, the sound of Bhajya, Bhajagira, of musical instruments. And it's Chibhuvana, Bhani. It's the kirtan, the sound is filling the three worlds. Sound is such a powerful, it can pervade everything. Lord Chaitanya wandered through all seven groups chanting the holy name. Hari, Hari! Raising his arms, he shouted, Jai Jagannath! Jai Jagannath! Hari, Hari! Get this image in your mind. What Rupa Goswami said, if you can't go to the holy Dham, you can't go to Vrindavan, you go there in the mind. Ara eka shakti prabhu kalila prakasa. Eka kali satta tani kalila vila. Lord Chaitanya then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in all seven groups. The Prabhupada said, what? Krishna is responsive. What a beautiful concept of the Supreme Absolute Reality. Krishna is responsive. This is the glory of God, that he's responsive to love. And the devotees want to be with him, so they're with him. Whether it's the 100 or so in the kirtan party, or the billion cowherd boys taking prasad, he's with them personally. He appears with them personally. There is mystic power, the Rasa dance. The Krishna is between each gopi. Some, he can either manifest that way, or like a firebrand that's on a rope, you have a fire and you swing it around, and it doesn't look like it's going from one place to another, but it looks like a whole wheel. Sometimes they say Krishna is going so fast that he's in between each gopi simultaneously, but either way, he's reciprocating the love of his devotees. And this is such a wonderful characteristic. And I think what a Prabhupada say, that if God did not reciprocate the will of his devotees, then the Supreme Absolute would have the defect of impersonalism. Shavakari Prabhu Achena Mori Sampadai Anyatani Nahiyana Amaradayai. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. So there was people did not see he was everywhere. They saw he was in their group. And we see sometimes even a rasa in kirtan. This is why kirtan gives special, Jiva Goswami says, you can chant the holy name, but if you do sang kirtan, if you chant with others, it gives special feelings of ecstasy. And one of the special feelings of ecstasy is the sharing of experience of love for someone else. It's a special feeling of ecstasy. So this is, they're both sharing the feeling, but it's exclusive. They're sharing the feeling, this group, they're feeling, and it's opening their heart. This is bhakti. Bhakti is to open the hearts to God, but you can't open the hearts to God unless you open your hearts to others. So kirtan is very special because you're sharing this experience and making the offering together of the beautiful music for the Supreme Lord, and that's creating so much love among the performers. But then when they're turning and focusing on Nam, their hearts are also open to God. And I know in a comment about deity worship, which I thought was very significant, described that if you worship God, but then you go out and offend others, then your worship for God is not sincere. Because the deity is a receptacle for God, and others are receptacles for God. So it's like respecting someone one place and then disrespecting them in another. You treat someone, let's say, nasty outside, nasty in private, but outside you treat them nicely, then the effect is you're not treating them nicely. If you worship God only in the deity, but you're not respectful to the devotees, it's not worshiping God nicely. It's kanishta adhikari at best. Kahi lakite nari kabu achintya shakti antaranga bhakta jani yanna shura bhakti. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed service, could understand. So there's achintya shakti, where he's going around and what he's doing. Not everyone can see that. Only those pure devotion, shuddha bhakti, can see the antaranga bhakti, the very internal insight. They're able to see this. Kirtan deki jagannatha hari sita, sankirtan deki ratha pariyata gita. Lord Jagannath was very much pleased by the sankirtan, and he brought his car to a standstill just to see the performance. So, very nice. In our discussions yesterday, and the CC, it was really nice. We sat around. Also, Mother Srimati, we feel always a pleasure when she joins the Sangha. She's deep. And we're sitting around and we're discussing, and Jagadish Maharaj was quoting from the Brihad Bhagavatam Vita that in Kapalika, described via Bhagavatamrita, that the meditation is so deep on Krishna that they see Krishna, but it's Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhava Nayam India. Devam Mukhehi Jiva Dao Swayam Evit Parati Dao. But how do they see God? Atasri Krishna Namadi, not with the mundane senses. You see God by the heart. God is seen by consciousness. It says the deity, if you have the consciousness, then you actually see Krishna there. You can't see Krishna just by the senses. Although you may realize Krishna is there, but it's the pramanjana, kṛta bhakti balochanena. So, it's by that devotion you actually see Krishna. And Krishna is there. The deity is a receptacle where Krishna manifests. Krishna is there. And we know he's there, and we worship there, but to actually see him there fully, it's a matter of consciousness. And one who has that consciousness, Krishna is in that consciousness. The person is always face to face with Krishna. So Lord Jagannath is Krishna. He's not different. And he's pleased, because this is done for his pleasure, and you can imagine how much love is being offered by the kirtan of Sri Damodar, the dancing of Nityananda, the dancing of Haridas Thakur, the Krishna Pandit, all the people, what an offering. It's Krishna, I love you, I love you, I love you. And devotion manifest in its most relishable form, presented at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. That he's pleased and his car stops by his will. We know the car moves by his will. He wants to see the performance. And that's also described that there's two concepts of darshan of the deity. Darshan means to see. One is you are going to see the deity. The other is you are going so the deity can see you. And that you're going, and your offering to the deity is a devotee who is loving and surrendered and has God fully in his heart. King Prataparudra was astonished also to see the Sankirtan. So this is ecstatic symptoms. He sees this offering of love and Jagannath's reciprocation, and he becomes astonished. And that astonishment is an emotion of his relationship with Krishna. It's his love, it's Krishna's servant. And it explodes in astonishment. And it was so powerful that he became vivaka, inactive. And then, he became full with prema. The king Prataparudra now is just full with prema, looking at this wonderful offering of love. Kashi Mishra Kohi Raja Prabhura Mahima Kashi Mishra Kohi Tomara Bhagira Nahi Shima. When the king informed Kashi Mishra of the glories of the Lord, Kashi Mishra replied, O king, your fortune has no limit. Because why? Because to appreciate the glories of the Lord, those glories have to be revealed. We see so many people in the world that are brilliant and powerful, but they can't see the glories of the Lord. But it's not just a question of your power. It's a question of the grace of God. And therefore, one who is appreciating the glories of the Lord has those glories have been revealed by God's mercy. And therefore, someone can understand that when someone is experiencing enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, an appreciation for Krishna consciousness, then that person has great fortune. sarva goma sange raja kari taratari hari keha no ijani chaitanya rakshuri. The king and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were both aware of the Lord's activities, but no one else could see the tricks of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they got special mercy here. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand. So that's God's mercy, that we understand. That we have realization of the absolute reality of Sri Krishna and devotional service. It's mercy. Somehow or other, we've attracted that mercy. Somehow or other, we've gotten that mercy. And that's what bhakti means. Bhakti is mercy. Somehow or other. It's not jnana, where there's a set analytical formula, yoga, chitta, vritti, nirodha, mechanical, or karma. Basically, you're buying some realization. Yoga is also jnana. Bhakti is mercy. And without that mercy, you may make yourself a receptacle of mercy by opening your heart in humility to God, letting God know that you are in need of God's mercy. But it has to descend. Where the process of jnana, it's mechanical. It's mechanical. Of course, really speaking, every process is dependent on bhakti. But bhakti is totally dependent on bhakti. Jnana is more mechanical, even though the jnanis have to worship God. Karmis have to worship God. Ultimately, it has to descend in any process. Bhakti even Lord Brahma, you cannot understand so intelligent. Without mercy, it doesn't mean Lord Brahma. Okay, are there any questions? Anyone like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj?
Yes.
This is Rafikia.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was hoping you were going to speak a little on Govardhan Puja today.
Can I tell you something? I forgot about it, but Krishna in the heart, Krishna in the heart stopped me from speaking about anything else. I'll just speak briefly about Govardhan and just...
But this was a wonderful class, too, and the principles that were brought up in here reflect things from that, too.
And they do. They do. You know, maybe Sunday I'll say something, too, then about it, because I really have to get my own book and just 15 minutes. I didn't bring my books here to Vrindavan,
yeah.
But I can say something about Govardhan Puja.
Great.
I'll just see if I what little things I do remember. Well, one thing that's interesting about Govardhan Puja, it's important to understand what pastime happened before. And the pastime that happened before was the deliverance of the wives of the Brahmins. Because what happened in the wives of the Brahmins? The Brahmins were focused on their puja. And they were doing their pujas and all their mantras, and again, they became under the illusion that it's Yajna by Vishnu, the Yajna is for Vishnu, but they somehow became under the illusion that they're the controllers, and then by this set formula and ritual, they can achieve perfection. Which is actually kind of common. And Krishna and Balaram, Krishna sent the cowherd boys because they were out on picnic, and the Brahmins wouldn't give anything. And then what happened is then finally they went back and the wives gave. And then the Brahmins realized their folly, and then they said, to hell with our mantra, to hell with our puja, to hell with our caste, to hell, you know. Because they saw that the wives, just by this simple heart and reciprocal devotion, of course, the wives became very attracted to Krishna. It's also very interesting how they became attracted, the wives of the Brahmins, because they used to need to buy flowers and milk for the puja. So they used to buy it from the gopis. And whenever they were in association with the gopis were always chanting Krishna's glory. So from that association of people who were hearing, they themselves became attracted. And by that simple process of chanting and hearing, Trindatatmakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantasoya Bhadrani Vidyanoti Siddhisthiti to come. That Krishna within the heart, just by someone who offers devotion, glorifies God, Krishna in the heart gives him the understanding. Tesham Sata Yitanam Bhajitam Priti Purvakam Vidami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna gives him the heart. So they had that understanding. So then after that pastime, which is not far from Govardhan Hill, then the next morning Krishna wakes up and they, perhaps even Nanda Maharaj and all of them were out there to get the Brahmins for the puja. And he sees his father worshipping Govardhan Hill. He sees his father worshipping Indra. Now Krishna came to establish exclusive devotion to himself. So he just thought, okay, it's one thing to chastise the Brahmin, right? Being, you know, not seeing the essence. But now my own father. And therefore, it was very nice that he preached six different all-sadarshans, it's there in the Bhagavatam. But the main thing is that even though Krishna was speaking bogus philosophical conclusion, telling his father, what do we need to worship the demigods? It will come by its works anyway. If you simply do the right thing, then it happens. You do the right thing, then you'll get the right result. You don't need to depend on God. He's telling his father that. Of course, Prabhupada said, Daivane Tena. No, the divine. We see, right? Someone can give the best of medical care and the patient dies. And then even someone's neglected, he may live. Parents may give the best of care and the child goes astray. Sometimes the child's neglected and he turns out okay. It's not just dependent. There's some grace or mercy. So he's giving his father his philosophy. It's just dependent on work, karma, mamamsa. But his father, when he sees his young, beautiful child, Krishna, you know, you see little children, they're sometimes cute, and if they say something precocious, the parents swoon in ecstasy. I bet you every, wouldn't it be great if, you can imagine one of these little kids here, mom or these daughters started to speak Sharita Gavasya, Shankaracharya's commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Oh, it's so cute. Oh, how beautiful. So he's speaking, and it's, oh, it was so attractive. And my father said, okay, please, just don't worry. We'll do another yajna for, you know, he's saying, you don't need to do this, just worship Govardhan Hill. He said, no, we'll do another yajna. We'll, you know. He said, no. Come in. Put it there. Karunika just brought flowers to my deity. And you can't imagine. You can say yes. Yes. You can't imagine the opulence of Vrindavan. The other day she brought a garland of kadamba malas. You know what a kadamba flower looks like? It's like a yellow ball with like just a shaped ball. You figure if it was hard, it'd be like one of those balls you could put it under your feet. And how do I describe what it looks like? Like it's about the size of a golf ball, but with little, just round and yellow and very, very fragrant. And today, she brought a lotus garland. These are real lotus flowers. So there's a real opulence in Vrindavan, where if you go to a poor country like America, you get one stale rose wrapped in a piece of plastic, costs you $1. So here, for $1, you get a whole garland of lotus flowers. So, now, continuing the pastime just for a minute, I can't go into the whole thing, but some of my... You can just leave the door open, and then just... The screen can be shut, if you...
Craig!
What? Hi, Krishna? Yeah. So, one of my favorite parts is I can't go to all parts, of course. Indra becomes real upset with this. Pride deceiveth the fall. And Indra, unleashes this devastation. I often make the point that just see, you know, Indra's a devotee, he becomes, it just becomes worse than Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden, he tried to destroy the World Trade Tower. That's a tragedy and a very cruel thing. But that's the center of business in the world. Indra just tries to destroy Vrindavan. Terrorist attack on Vrindavan, the devotional center of the world. And when he fails, not going into the details, when he fails, because his lightning spies tell him not even a blade of grass, not even an ant on Govardhan Hill is destroyed. And of course, Krishna not only lifts up the hill, but simultaneously the whole Vrindavan is manifest under the hill. It's not just like an uprooted piece of sod. It's a beautiful forest, the Vrindavan is underneath. And it's also a very wonderful pastime because it's Parakya, the young unmarried gopis don't get a chance to look at Krishna. All they want to do is feast on his beauty. But even a girl who's restricted and chaste, and if there's calamity and there is a hero that brings everyone rescues everyone, then that hero can be gazed upon by everyone. So Krishna's lifting up the hill and all the gopis are looking at Krishna. And of course, then there's that pastime, one of Krishna's wonderful qualities, that he's bashful. And he's holding up the hill, and he looks upon the beauty of the gopis, and he starts to shake, and the hill starts to shake above, and the coward men are putting up the sticks. Everyone is terrified. Balaram's laughing. He's laughing because he knows this is Krishna. Balaram's not confused. This is nothing for Krishna to hold up a small hill or a large mountain. But Krishna looks at Balaram and then sees Balaram laughing and thinks that Balaram, his older brother, caught him looking lustfully at the young girl. And nobody wants to get caught doing that. And Krishna's face turns red. So many pastimes there, but all the residents are loving Krishna in their different relationships as the hero. So the full bhava is manifest. Just like the Kaliya pastimes, another one. There's a few pastimes, but all the residents are pouring their hearts out to Krishna, and Krishna is protecting them. Whenever I go to Govardhan with a group of people, we enact this pastime, and sometimes we find a young Brijbasi boy just to stand there with his hands folded, or one of the young children that come. And we all come before the hill, and because it's so international here in Vrindavan, I love to do this. I get people of 10 different languages to pour out their hearts and say in their own language, Krishna, save me, Krishna, save me. But I have to admit that the best sound of Krishna, save me, or the kind of, you know, the Spanish languages and, there's more, some languages seem more geared to good sentiments like that. Yeah. And then there's the, So Krishna, save me, Krishna, save me, Krishna, save me, save me, save me. And then the water is coming up so that there's no difference between the low ground and the high ground, and the calves barely drowning, and that's when Krishna lifts up the hill very, very easily. One of my favorite parts is when they go back to Indra, and Indra realizes, I always translate this into my local vernacular. This is what it is in my local vernacular, was when Indra realized that it wasn't just a young puffed-up boy, but it was the Lord and Master of the universe who lifted up the hill. And when the lightning spies told him that nothing was destroyed, and they checked again and nothing was destroyed, Indra said, uh-oh, made a big mistake. And now this offense was like huge. It would be like if Osama bin Laden was destroying the World Trade Center, and then he discovered that inside was a big mosque. It was all mullahs praying or something. He might realize, my God, what have I done destroying Vrindavan? Oh, no. So he went to Lord Brahma for counsel and said, what should I do? And Lord Brahma said, hey, don't ask me. Just last year I made the same offense. I also thought Krishna was an ordinary boy. And I tried to steal the calves and cowherd boys to teach him a lesson. But then he said, if you want to satisfy Krishna, and I read in the Gautamiya Tantra, that Krishna loved the cows. The cows are more dear to Krishna than the Brahmins. If you worship the cow, you can love Krishna. And worshipping the cows, according to the Gautami Vedanta, means to offer a handful of grass, to offer the Sajid's neck, or to circumambulate the cows. And when I'm here in Vrindavan, it's so nice. Premati Shore has this farm near the Goshala. It's unprecedented how beautiful it is, especially with the greatest rains in Vrindavan in 50 years. It's so lush. Everything is just great. You know, usually you see it's dry, the grass is. And, you know, go there and you see the champak tree, the guava tree, the nogra, all the most fragrant flowers in the world. And he has the original species of cows. And it's like you never saw a cow before. And just so nice. The cow never was impregnated and gives milk. But they're treated with so much affection. And Krishna loves the cow. We should all do cow saving. And so he came to pacify Krishna, the original Surabhi cow, and his elephant, which was a hose. His trunk was a hose for the celestial Ganges. A lot of nice details are in Kavi Kanapur's Ananda Vrindavan Champu. That was just a brief description. And on Sunday, I'll explain something about Govardhan Tattva. Okay, that's what I can give today. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? People are shy, but we're actually getting more people than ever on these Sundays. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Nitya Seva. Please accept my obeisances.
Oh, Hare Krishna. I was thinking of you because I was mentioning that Kartik means Nitya Seva. So,
yeah.
Hey. Great.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll call you maybe in the next week or so once I get regulated again and go over that just to.
That would be great. I'm going to be writing you, so nothing special, just to share some thoughts and ask for a couple of questions.
Please do. Please do. Yeah. I'd love to hear from you. You know, I was actually, I really, during the class, I was praying that you were listening. I really was.
Thank you. I hardly ever can make it for the Wednesday Sanghas because it's very late for me. But
yeah.
Today I had a little bit of a hard day, so I was thinking what's the best thing I could do, and I thought I have to stay for the Sangha and listen to your Katha, and that will make my day good again.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's great. Okay, write me a little letter, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for a great class.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? This is amazing, too, because... Hare Krishna? Yes?
And this is Bharati Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
Bharati, thank you for again coming on. I just got the numbers from Rati because I have my computers. It's the largest sangha on Wednesday we've had in at least a year or two. So, but that means there's people calling around. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Happy
Christmas. Who's this?
This is Dr. Stella.
Oh, Stella, Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming on. That's great. A little breaky there.
Hi, Bob. Oh,
thank you. Good. Great. It's as the country is falling apart. I think is very wonderful. Anybody else like to share Hare Krishna? Okay, I know you're all out there because what you just sent me that there's a lot of people listening. So thank you all for coming on, and hope to see you on Wednesday and on Monday. Hare Krishna. Panchakalpa Tridya Jagatasya 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 Jagatasya